Number 136, the prophetic transition of Republicanism and Protestantism from death to resurrection. Key takeaways. The year 2020 marked a significant transition for both the Republican and Protestant spheres, symbolized by their respective horns in the earth beast of Revelation. According to biblical interpretation, these horns experienced a symbolic death, but are prophesied to rise again after 3.5 days. This resurrection signifies a transformation, particularly for the horn of true Protestantism, shifting from a lukewarm state to a more fervent movement akin to the Philadelphian era. Concurrently, the Republican horn undergoes a parallel process, merging with apostate Protestantism and embodying an image of the Catholic beast. These transitions are deeply intertwined with historical and prophetic periods, from the early days of Adventism to contemporary events like September 11, 2001, and the January 6, 2021 Pelosi trials. Understanding these shifts provides insights into the forthcoming challenges and the resurgence of prophetic fulfillment. Symbolic deaths and resurrections. The year 2020 witnessed symbolic deaths for both the Republican and true Protestant horns of the earth beast. According to Revelation, after 3.5 days, these horns are prophesied to rise again, signifying a transformative resurrection. This resurrection heralds a shift within true Protestantism from a state of spiritual lukewarmness to a more fervent movement reminiscent of the Philadelphian era. Historical parallels and prophetic significance. The Philadelphian movement within Adventism, which died in 1856, is now being resurrected as the eighth, representing restoration and revival. Similarly, the Republican horn undergoes a parallel death and resurrection, aligning with prophetic timelines and historical events. Historical periods like the sealing time from September 11, 2001, to the imminent Sunday law play a crucial role in understanding these transitions and their prophetic implications. Prophetic periods and symbolic waymarks. Historical dates such as 1776, 1789, and 1798 serve as symbolic waymarks, representing preparation and transition within prophetic timelines. These periods mirror events from the early days of Adventism to contemporary events like the January 6, 2021 Pelosi trials, signaling impending challenges and transformations. The prophetic enigma of the eighth being of the seven is reiterated through these historical and contemporary parallels, emphasizing the cyclical nature of prophetic fulfillment. Intersection of religion and politics. The intertwining of Republicanism and apostate Protestantism reflects a broader convergence of religious and political forces, mirroring historical patterns of alliance and conflict. Symbolic actions like the Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 and contemporary events like the January 6 trials serve as warnings of the empowerment of the papacy and the impending Sunday law. Understanding these interactions shed light on the potential trajectory of global governance and religious freedom. Implications for the future. By examining historical parallels and prophetic timelines, we gain insights into the challenges and transformations awaiting both religious and political spheres. The resurrection of Republicanism and true Protestantism heralds a period of intensified conflict and spiritual revival, with significant implications for global governance and religious liberty. As these transitions unfold, it becomes imperative for individuals and communities to discern the signs of the times and align themselves with principles of truth and righteousness. There is a transition of both the Republican and the true Protestant horn of the earth beast that began in the year 2020. The true Protestant horn was slain on July 18, 2020, and the Republican horn was slain on November 3, 2020. But according to Revelation chapter 11, after 3.5 symbolic days, they will once again stand upon their feet. When they stand, the true Protestant horn will transition from Laodiceans to Philadelphians. They will have been taken out of a church and brought into a movement. They have been taken out of the experience of the seventh church into the experience of the sixth church. They have become the eighth, that is, of the seven. The movement at the beginning of Adventism was the Philadelphian movement, and the Philadelphian movement is restored at the end. The work of the three angels of Revelation chapter 14 began as a movement, and it will end as a movement. The Philadelphian movement, represented by the Sixth Church of Philadelphia, died in 1856, and beginning at the end of July in 2023, it is now being resurrected as the Eighth, that is of the Seven. In the same history, the Republican Horn is experiencing a parallel death and resurrection. With the sixth president since Reagan at the time of the end in 1989 becoming the eighth president, who is of the Seven. The process of transitioning for the Republican Horn is represented by its merging together with the horn of apostate Protestantism, which is spiritual fornication and the image of the beast. The Republican Horn becomes the eighth, that is of the Seven, for it represents an image of the beast of Catholicism, that is the eighth head. That is of the seven heads in Revelation chapter 17 and in Daniel chapter 2. The political transition of the horn of republicanism is represented in the period of preparation from 1776 unto 1798. That prophetic period is a necessary key to recognize the unsealing of the hidden secret of Nebuchadnezzar's image of the beasts. That period of preparation is represented by the period of 30-year preparation for both Christ and the Antichrist. The sealing time from September 11, 2001, unto the soon-coming Sunday Law is the prophetic period where the effect of every vision is accomplished. It represents the period that ends with the papacy returning to the throne of the earth as the Eighth Kingdom, that is of the Seven, at the hour of the great earthquake of Revelation chapter 11. It has therefore been typified by the period that preceded the first time the papacy was enthroned in 538. In 538, the papacy passed a Sunday law at the Council of Orleans, identifying the end of the 30 years of preparation and typifying the soon coming Sunday law. Jesus never changes, so there must be a period that precedes the Sunday law where the deadly wound is healed, as there was the first time the papacy was enthroned. That period is represented by the histories associated with the waymarks of the years 508, 533, and 538. In the year 508, the period of preparation, or the setting up of the papacy, began. The fourth kingdom of pagan Rome, a dragon power, had been subdued, and in 533, Justinian decreed that the papacy was the head of the churches and also the corrector of heretics. All that was left in order for the papacy to take control in 538 was the removal of the Goths from the city of Rome, and that took place in the year 538. That 30-year line of history ran parallel to the birth of Christ, that was followed by the ministry of John, that led to the empowerment of Jesus as the Messiah at his baptism. The period of preparation in the history of Christ runs parallel with the sealing time, and it addresses the internal line of the Protestant horn, while the period of preparation for the Antichrist addresses the external line of the Republican horn. Those two periods provide two witnesses of September 11, 2001, October 7, 2023, and the soon-coming Sunday Law. One period is emphasizing the external and the other the internal testimony of the sealing time of the 144,000. The work of John, as the voice in the wilderness who prepared the way for the messenger of the covenant, paralleled the decree of Justinian that prepared the way for the man of sin, who is the messenger of the covenant of death. October 7, 2023 was the warning of what is going to happen when the Sunday law is enforced, as it was in 538. October 7, 2023 parallels 533 in the period of preparation for the first time the papacy was placed on the throne of the earth. It is the warning that at the soon coming Sunday law, as in 538, the Pope will once again become both the head of the churches and also the corrector of heretics. It is also the warning of the escalating warfare of Islam of the third woe. It is the warning identifying Islam, tidings of the East, and the warning of the restoration of the Pope, tidings of the North. That warning coincides with the work of the messenger who prepares the way in the last days for the messenger of the covenant, who is to then enter into covenant with the 144,000. The three periods of preparation, the 30 years of Christ and the Antichrist and the sealing time, are also typified by the period of 1776 unto 1798. The ending of the earth beast has a specific period which precedes its ending as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. Therefore, the beginning of the earth beast as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy must have a prophetic period that precedes the beginning of that kingdom. Alpha and Omega always illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning of a thing. 1776, 1789, and 1798 represent September 11, 2001, October 7, 2023, and the soon coming Sunday law. From 1776 unto 1798, the prophetic preparation of the setting up of the Sixth Kingdom was accomplished, just as the years 508, 533, and 538 represented the preparation of the setting up of the Fifth Kingdom. They must have these same prophetic characteristics, for the Sixth Kingdom is to be the image of the Fifth Kingdom. The 30 years of Christ's preparation leading to his baptism represent the same period, for when Christ came to confirm the covenant for 1 week, beginning at his baptism, he was setting up his kingdom of grace. In setting up his kingdom of grace in those 7 years, he shed his blood to confirm that kingdom, and in so doing, he left the example of when he would set up his kingdom of glory. That kingdom of glory is the kingdom of Daniel 2, that is represented as a stone that is cut out of a mountain without hands. That kingdom, Sister White informs us, is set up during the latter rain, and the latter rain began on September 11, 2001. The latter rain is coming on those that are pure. All then will receive it as formerly. When the four angels let go, Christ will set up his kingdom. None receive the latter rain but those who are doing all they can. Christ would help us. All could be overcomers by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus. All heaven is interested in the work. Angels are interested. Spalding and Magan 3. On September 11, 2001, the four winds, which are represented as an angry horse, Islam, were released and then held in check while the 144,000 are being sealed. 1776, 1789, and 1798 represent the period of the sealing of the 144,000, and the three dates represent legal enactments that led to the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy being established. The second date of 1789 identifies the Constitution of the United States, and therefore it was the message that identified the Constitution as the twofold power that was to arrive in 1798, just as 533 was the announcement of the twofold power that would arrive in 538, and as John the Baptist announced the twofold power which would arrive at Christ's baptism. The two powers that make up the twofold power of Christ was his example that divinity combined with humanity does not sin. The two powers that make up the twofold power of the Antichrist was his enthronement as the head of the churches and his enthronement as the corrector of heretics. The two powers of that make up the twofold power of the earth beast are the two horns of republicanism and Protestantism. And he had two horns like a lamb. The lamb-like horns indicate youth, innocence, and gentleness, fitly representing the character of the United States when presented to the prophet as coming up in 1798. Among the Christian exiles who first fled to America and sought an asylum from royal oppression and priestly intolerance were many who determined to establish a government upon the broad foundation of civil and religious liberty. Their views found place in the Declaration of Independence, which sets forth the great truth that all men are created equal and endowed with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And the Constitution guarantees to the people the right of self-government, providing that representatives elected by the popular vote shall enact and administer the laws. Freedom of religious faith was also granted, every man being permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. Republicanism and Protestantism became the fundamental principles of the nation. These principles are the secret of its power and prosperity. The oppressed and downtrodden throughout Christendom have turned to this land with interest and hope. Millions have sought its shores, and the United States has risen to a place among the most powerful nations of the earth. The Great Controversy, 441, 1776, 1789, and 1798 represent three histories that emphasize that the eighth is of the seven. 1776 represents the publication of the Declaration of Independence and the history of the First and Second Continental Congresses. 1789 represents the publication of the Constitution and the history of the Articles of Confederation. 1798 represents the publication of the Alien and Seditions Acts and the beginning of the Earth Beast as the sixth kingdom of Bible prophecy. The First Continental Congress occurred in 1774 and was a pivotal institution in the early history of the United States, serving as a governing body during the American Revolutionary War. The Continental Congresses are divided into two prophetic periods of the First Congress and the Last Congress. The First Continental Congress had two presidents and convened in Philadelphia from September 5th to October 26th, 1774. Peyton Randolph was the first president of the meeting from September 5th to October 22nd, and then Henry Middleton presided for the next 5 days until October 26th, 1774. The Second Continental Congress occurred from 1775 until 1781. The Second Continental Congress had six presidents during its existence. Peyton Randolph presided as president from May 10th, 1775 until May 24th, 1775. He was the first president of both the First and also of the Second Continental Congresses. There was a total of eight presidents during the history of the First and Second Continental Congresses. The second president of the Second Continental Congress was John Hancock, and Hancock presided from May 24, 1775 until October 31, 1777. Henry Lawrence presided from November 1, 1777 until December 9, 1778. John Jay presided from December 10, 1778 until September 28, 1779. Samuel Huntington presided from September 28, 1779 until July 9, 1781. Thomas McKean presided from July 10, 1781 until November 4, 1781. Peyton Randolph was the first president of both the First and Second Continental Congresses. This identifies that during the two periods of the Continental Congresses, there were eight presidents. But the president that was the first president of each of the two periods was the same person. Therefore, though there were eight presidential terms, there were actually only seven presidents. The first president was of the seven men who were presidents, but as Randolph presided twice in that history, he also represents the eighth. That was of the seven. In the history of the Continental Congresses, the Revolutionary War was managed by the Congress. For this reason, George Washington was never a president in that period, for he had been appointed as the first commander and chief over the military. Being the first president of both periods, Randolph represents two witnesses typifying the first actual president, who was George Washington. Washington is represented by Randolph, and therefore Randolph, as a symbol of Washington, conveys both the prophetic characteristics of Randolph, the first president, but also that Randolph was the eighth. That was of the seven. Thus, George Washington as the first president and the first commander-in-chief was also prophetically the eighth and was of the seven. Jesus illustrates the end of a thing with the beginning, so the last president and commander-in-chief will be the eighth, that is of the seven. This prophetic fact is established in the history of the First and Second Continental Congresses, which is represented by the date of the first waymark of 1776, and publication of the Declaration of Independence. The waymark of 1776 typifies September 11th, 2001, and the USA Patriot Act, where American independence was placed under the authority of Roman law and no longer under English law. It marks the beginning of the prophetic period that prepares the way for the papacy to once again take the throne of the earth at the soon coming Sunday law. As with the prophetic period represented by 1776, the prophetic period represented the history from the conclusion of the Second Continental Congress in 1781 to 1789, which is the date that identifies the waymark associated with the publication of the Constitution. There were also eight presidents. The history of 1781 to 1789 is the history of the Articles of Confederation. The Articles of Confederation represented the first Constitution, but the weakness of the Articles of Confederation led to its replacement and the ratification of the Constitution in 1789. In that period, the eight presidents consisted of seven presidents who were not presidents in the history of the two Continental Congresses, and one who was also a president in that first prophetic period. John Hancock served in both the Second Continental Congress and also in the period represented by the Articles of Confederation. At the prophetic level, there were only 7 men who were president during the 2 Continental Congresses. Thus, prophetically, John Hancock was one of the 8 in the period of the Articles of Confederation, but he was also one of the 7 men from the previous period. He was therefore the 8th, that was of the 7. The second prophetic period, represented by 1789, also had a president, Hancock, who was the 8th, but of the 7, as was Peyton Randolph in the first prophetic period, represented by 1776. 1789 aligns with and represents the January 6, 2021 Pelosi trials. The Lord has faithful watchmen on the walls of Zion to cry aloud and spare not, to lift up their voice like a trumpet, and show his people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. The Lord has permitted the enemy of truth to make a determined effort against the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. He designs by this means to awaken a decided interest in that question, which is a test for the last days. This will open the way for the third angel's message to be proclaimed with power. Let not one who believes the truth be silent now. None should be careless now. Let all urge their petitions at the throne of grace, pleading the promise, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." John 14:13. It is a perilous time now. If this land of boasted liberty is preparing to sacrifice every principle which enters into her constitution, making decrees to suppress religious freedom, and for the enforcing of papal falsehood and delusion, then the people of God need to present their petitions in faith to the Most High. There is every encouragement in the promises of God for those who put their trust in Him. The prospect of being brought into personal danger and distress need not cause despondency, but should quicken the vigor and hopes of God's people. For the time of their peril is the season for God to grant them clearer manifestations of His power. We are not to sit in calm expectancy of oppression and tribulation and fold our hands, doing nothing to avert the evil. Let our united cries be sent up to heaven. Pray and work, and work and pray. But let none act rashly. Learn as never before that you must be meek and lowly in heart. You must not bring a railing accusation against any, whether individuals or churches. Learn to deal with minds as Christ did. Sharp things must sometimes be spoken. But be sure that the Holy Spirit of God is abiding in your heart before you speak the clear-cut truth. Then let it cut its way. You are not to do the cutting. Selected Messages, Book 2, 370. The second waymark in the prophetic period of preparation represented by the Constitution identifies that the Constitution is to be overturned at the next waymark. That second waymark has been typified by John the Baptist and also by the decree of Justinian, which both identified and presented a warning in connection with the arrival of the last event represented in the period. For John, it was the empowerment of Christ as he confirmed his covenant of life with his precious blood, and for Justinian, it was the empowerment of the Antichrist, who was to ratify his covenant of death with the blood of the martyrs. The Constitution in 1789 identified the empowerment of the 2 horns of the earth beast, and in so doing, 1789 identified the soon coming destruction of the earth beast's 2 horns of power, as represented by the Alien and Seditions Acts in 1798. When the 2 witnesses were slain in the streets in the year 2020, they identified and warned of a sustained attack upon the Constitution that are symbolized by the January 6, 2021 Pelosi trials. January 6, 2021 is the warning about the empowerment of the papacy at the soon coming Sunday law, as typified by the decree of Justinian in the year 533. January 6, 2021 and the year 533 both give warning of the soon coming Sunday law, as typified by the Sunday law in 538 at the Council of Orleans, and by the Alien and Sedition Acts in 1798, which typified the earth beast speaking as a dragon at the soon coming Sunday law. At the Sunday law, the deadly wound of the papacy will be healed, and the 8th head of Revelation chapter 17, that is of the 7 heads, will be resurrected. The Alien and Sedition Acts of 1798 represents the earth beast speaking as a dragon, when it not only enforces the worship of the sun, but thereafter forces the entire world to accept the authority of the sea beast of Revelation chapter 13, as the eighth head that is of the seven heads. Therefore, in each of the three periods represented within the period of preparation by 1776, 1789, and 1798, the prophetic enigma of the eighth, being of the seven, is prophetically represented. The first two waymarks, 1776 and 1789, that identify the enigma, address the riddle being accomplished within the prophetic history of the earth beast, and the third waymark identifies the enigma being accomplished for the papal power. We will continue this study in the next article. Saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast. Here is clearly presented a form of government in which the legislative power rests with the people, a most striking evidence that the United States is the nation denoted in the prophecy. But what is the image to the beast, and how is it to be formed? The image is made by the two-horned beast and is an image to the beast. It is also called an image of the beast. Then to learn what the image is like and how it is to be formed, we must study the characteristics of the beast itself, the papacy. When the early church became corrupted by departing from the simplicity of the gospel and accepting heathen rites and customs, she lost the spirit and power of God, and in order to control the consciences of the people, she sought the support of the secular power. The result was the papacy, a church that controlled the power of the state and employed it to further her own ends, especially for the punishment of heresy. In order for the United States to form an image of the beast, the religious power must so control the civil government that the authority of the state will also be employed by the church to accomplish her own ends. Whenever the church has obtained secular power, she has employed it to punish dissent from her doctrines. Protestant churches that have followed in the steps of Rome by forming alliance with worldly powers have manifested a similar desire to restrict liberty of conscience. An example of this is given in the long-continued persecution of dissenters by the Church of England. During the 16th and 17th centuries, thousands of nonconformist ministers were forced to flee from their churches, and many, both of pastors and people, were subjected to fine, imprisonment, torture, and martyrdom. It was apostasy that led the early church to seek the aid of the civil government, and this prepared the way for the development of the papacy, the beast. Said Paul, "There shall come a falling away, and that man of sin be revealed." 2 Thessalonians 2:3. So apostasy in the church will prepare the way for the image to the beast. The Bible declares that before the coming of the Lord, there will exist a state of religious declension similar to that in the first centuries. In the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. Satan will work with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And all that received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, will be left to accept strong delusion that they should believe a lie. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-11. When this state of ungodliness shall be reached, the same results will follow as in the first centuries. The Great Controversy, 443-444.